Unanimous.
How are things going?
Great.
Helping out here a little?
Trying, yeah.
Good, that's very good. Of course, if you're going to be a trendy manager in any kind of way, then you're supposed to catch people doing things right. You've heard that one? Yes, catch people doing things right. And then you mention it, as opposed to catch people doing things wrong. So, naturally, from the material point of view, someone's always catching you doing something wrong, start to get a bit discouraged. It takes a lot of love and appreciation to put up with someone who's always catching you doing something wrong. That's the way human psychology is. But if you catch someone doing something right, then they always remember that. You notice that tendency? If someone point out something right you do, wow, that's really good. It feels so nice, don't you? But if all the time someone's pointing out your mistakes, you get a bit grouchy and, you know. But it's the job of both material and spiritual parents to correct. Sometimes the material children or material parents don't appreciate correction. I'm sure you all can remember times when you were corrected by your parents. Well, these days you say parent. Most families are single parent families. So you probably remember you were corrected by your parent and you didn't appreciate it all the time. But it's the duty of both kinds of parents to correct the children. Jagannath Mishra said this about his son Nimai. He would discipline his son, correct him, and then he had a dream one night in which a Brahmana was saying to him, "Your son, he's complete in knowledge. He's self-effulgent in all knowledge. So what is the use in trying to educate him and correct him?" And Nanda Maharaj replied that, "Even if it is so that my son is self-effulgent and complete in knowledge, still, I'm the father, he's my son. I must correct him." Because he had that Vatsalya Ras parental relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he did not abandon that for anything. Similarly, in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they would take care of Krishna as if Krishna was completely dependent on them. And sometimes there would be an anxiety. How is Krishna doing as he's playing with his friends in Vrindavan? He's crawling on the ground. There could be sharp tools. There could be monkeys. There could be so many things that could hurt him as he crawls through the grass or brush. If Krishna was late coming home for lunch, Mother Yashoda would go out and get him. She would chastise him, "Krishna, you're acting like you have no home. Why are you late? Your father is ready to take lunch. He doesn't take lunch without you. Where are you? Don't you have a home?" That is the nature of Vatsalya Ras, parental love of Krishna, that the devotee thinks he's responsible for maintaining and protecting Krishna. who maintains and protects everyone. It's not always easy to correct or to give advice, to give guidance. You all will find that out as you become more proficient in your Krishna conscious duties, and you have to help others based on your experience. You'll find that not everyone wants the benefit of experience. There's a big human tendency to want to reinvent the wheel. I was discussing this point with His Holiness Sri Ram Maharaj in Vrajadam, in Hungary, the farm there. You're discussing how it seems that the present generation of devotees, the younger devotees, you can help them avoid so many problems because, you know, we old timers have seen it all. You've seen all the movies, reruns again and again, more than 30 years. So, and naturally we have a desire to spare you all from all the surprises and shocks in life and all the pitfalls. And we might think that, oh, yes, they'll be so eager to hear the benefit of our experience. But actually, it's not like that all the time. Every new generation, to some degree, wants to reinvent the wheel. It's all part of growing up. Maybe you can remember when you were teenagers. If you had good parents or a good parent, they would tell you, oh, no, don't get so caught up in this. It's just a passing phase. Any of you hear something like that? I think the more traditional times of Western subculture culture, especially when there was teenage romance, good parents would always caution their teenage kids, now don't get too much into it, you'll find out it's going to pass away, it's going to... But when you were into it as a teenager, you just couldn't believe it, especially the first experiences of Roger Goon. Seems like it's going to go on forever, right? I remember the kind of like pop songs from the 50s, you know, but they have these young people singing, you know, pop songs. We're 16 and we want to get married. The grown ups, they don't understand. They think we're too young to fall in love. So it's always like that. The parents, if they're good, they want to shield their dependents from so many possible crises or pitfalls. That instinct is natural. But also, the instinct of the younger generation is also natural. That, you know, just because you did it your way doesn't mean we have to do it that way. It's different for us. That, to some degree, that feeling is going to be there. So I was discussing with Sri Ram Raja. He's explaining how he would like to point out certain things that, oh, we did this 20 years ago, and, you know, we know, I know how it's going to turn out. And you think everybody would, really? Not exactly. It depends. Some disciples are very eager to take guidance and counseling. Others, they just have this, you know, thing in them. They gotta do their thing. They just gotta, you know, they just gotta see it their way. The spiritual parent has to work with all that. How to give instruction to persons who, they say,
Ojai
Guru Maharaj. All glories.
But they're not able to take direct instruction. So it gets a bit tricky, because if your spiritual master gives you an instruction and you don't follow it, it's an offense. So that means the spiritual master has to be a bit calculated. Well, if I don't give the person an instruction, they're going to have problems. But if I do give instruction and they don't follow it, they're going to have problems. So what to do? So it takes a bit of finesse and a bit of maneuvering. Mm-hmm. Of course, when the disciple is submissive, then things are easy. Then the spiritual master can reveal his mind. But otherwise, if the disciple is, often the devotees come to their spiritual master with their whole program already worked out in their mind. They just want some blessings for it. So they will preach, yes, yes, sounds very nice. That will always be there. It's like karma yoga. You're attached to acting in a certain way, but you offer the results to Krishna. Nevertheless, there is a higher standard. Full bhakti, which is rare in this world, pure bhakti means whatever Krishna wants, however Krishna wants it. That's why Srila Prabhupada said that if all my disciples would do what I wanted, Krishna consciousness could take over the world in 18 days. That's the power of proper guru-disciple relationship. He said that. 18 days, Krishna consciousness could take over the world if all my disciples would do what I wanted. So don't think just because someone is wearing dhoti, sari, neck beads, that means they are wanting guidance and they want to be instructed. Not like that. And also changes. Some years a devotee wants guidance, some other years no. See me. I'm going through a phase now. And then it can switch back and forth. Particularly when devotees take up household life, often they can become overwhelmed by the experience, and so they just kind of tune out. If they're lucky, they will have they'll be part of a thriving association of householders who can keep everyone fresh. The Vedic principle is that just as a good parent must correct the child, similarly the spiritual master must correct the disciple. It's done as a service to Krishna. Otherwise, obviously, if you simply want to be liked, you don't correct people. Then it'll be very much appreciated. You don't correct. Jai. All glories. Everyone's so nice. Whatever you want to do, just do it for Krishna. That is correct advice for those on a certain level. Those on a higher level, you can give specific instruction. And this way, we have to learn how to deal with all different types of persons with different levels of aspiration. Some persons just want to chant Hare Krishna and live their own life as they like in all aspects. There'll be persons like that. You have to know how to deal with that. Others
are smart. They understand. If I'm sick, I need the instructions of the doctor. So you have to be able to watch for that also. And then see how people go from one camp to the other. You have to be able to see all that if you're going to effectively give it, give Krishna conscious counsel. And we do hope that all of you will be able to give Krishna conscious counsel. But don't make the mistake of thinking everyone is just dying to get advice. Oh, if I only have advice, then my situation would be okay. Now, nature of the conditioned soul means rebelliousness. What does the Lord say in Bhagavad Gita? Iccha dvesha samuttena dvandva moha partha. All living entities are born into this world overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. We've discussed this psychological situation before. What do they desire? They desire to envy Krishna. Krishna's pleasure. I want Krishna's enjoyment. And what do they hate? They hate Krishna's instructions. This is the psychology of the conditioned soul. This is what you're dealing with in Sankirtan, preaching, like that. So understand it. Try to see it in yourself also. Bhakti yoga is difficult to practice properly in the material world without guidance. It's quite impossible. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you want to understand all the ins and outs about the different yajnas that were explained in the fourth chapter of the Gita, then Krishna says you need to approach a guru. You approach a guru not to make a material solution to your life, but to end the material implications and entanglements of your life and become attached to Krishna's service. So that has to be there, correction. Actually, to correct someone doesn't necessarily mean you don't like the person. Correction can mean that you actually appreciate the person. Otherwise you wouldn't take the trouble to correct. Because if you simply wanted to be popular, you wouldn't correct. So, we have to be able to see when the correction is based on care. And when the correction is just based on putting someone down. There's a difference. So I was thinking today, tonight, should I say something? Good for my PR. I want to be appreciated. I want to be. I want everyone to think, oh, he's a nice person. He's a nice guy. But that's sense gratification because that's not my service. Service is to act such a way that Krishna will think I'm a nice guy. That means I have to work, I have to do my job, which is to point out certain things. Of course, everything is not simply about correction, it's also about encouragement, it's appreciation. Krishna consciousness is the real love religion. So, the spiritual master wants to teach the devotees how to love each other by showing love for the devotees. Apparently, bhakti yoga is based on rules and regulations, but the actual heart of bhakti yoga is love. Without following the rules and regulations, I will never understand what real love is. Sometimes when people first come to Krishna classes, they just think it's a bunch of rules and regulations. I can't be natural. I can't be spontaneous. Anyone feel like that? Anyone else? You felt like that? How much was that? Where's Sarah? You felt like that? Yeah. Why does that have to be a rule for everything, right? As if there's no rules in material life? It's like here in England, every time you try to do something, you have to file a paper, you know, wait 10 years for the paper to come back, and just do this and refile. So many rules. Just so somebody can justify having a job. Being a part of the bureaucracy. In Krishna consciousness, though, the rules are there for creating a situation of purity, creating a situation in which we can feel attraction for Krishna. All the rules and regulations have the purpose of helping us to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. But in the beginning, we don't know that. We think, yeah, I may have some problems, but I'm not that bad. So I'll take the Krishna consciousness, make a few minor adjustments, and go on basically the same thing. Then what happens if you are a truthful devotee, sincere devotee, Krishna starts showing you so many things in your heart. Ooh. You thought you were a nice person. Yeah. A few things you need to be corrected, nothing major enough. And then Krishna gives you a glimpse of the darkest chambers of your heart. You see all these monsters. You just, ooh. If you can see what's going on in your heart, that's Krishna's mercy upon you. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Teshama Evanukam Bhartam Aham Gyana Jantama Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Gyana Dipena Vasvata. Krishna says, out of compassion for you, I'll let you see what's going on in your heart. I'll turn on the torch of knowledge and let you see what's actually happening in the innermost chambers of your heart. Out of compassion. When I turn on the shining lamp of knowledge, it will destroy the darkness of ignorance. You'll be able to see what's troubling you. That's a great step forward, as I always explain to the devotees. To be able to see what's troubling you. And then deal with it. Most people cannot see what's troubling them. They don't understand that their problems in life are caused by the dirty things in the heart. And the number one dirty thing in the heart is thinking, I am this body. So yes, rules and regulations must be there. But the whole driving force behind the rules and regulations should be real love. Real love will cause you to feel that I don't want you to suffer. How many of you had that feeling before of not wanting others to suffer? It's a powerful motive. And in Krishna consciousness, so much service is done on that motive that we don't want to see others suffer. That's why Krishna says, no one is more dear to me, nor will there ever be one more dear to me than the one who teaches my glories to others. Because in order to spread Krishna's glories, you have to have this feeling that I don't want people to suffer. And this is what people feel from you. They'll listen to you effectively when they feel that you don't want them to suffer. Have you ever felt that from someone before? It's a very powerful thing. First of all, you're shocked that someone really cares for you. And secondly, you're quite pleased that someone is actually thinking how you can lessen your tribulations in this world. We should cultivate this feeling more that we don't want others to suffer, therefore we're reaching out to others, even at our own inconvenience. Krishna likes to see that. You know in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Vasudeva Das. He had this feeling. He said, I will not go back to Godhead. Let me stay here and suffer the sinful reactions for everybody. Let them go. I'll stay and take all their sinful reactions upon me. He didn't say, only for those who believe in me. He said, everyone, let me stay in this material world and suffer the sinful reactions of all the living entities. Let them go back together. So the powerful, inconceivable feelings of a Vaishnava. So we should also follow in that line according to our measure. The Vasudeva Das is an extraordinary person, devotee of Lord Chaitanya. We can also, in our own little way, follow that conviction. How can we just sit around idly while people are destroying themselves? We can't do that. Therefore, we want to give them the best hope in life, the best treatment. We want to give them Krishna consciousness. And just briefly, some minor, some small things you brought. You actually don't call your spiritual master by his name, whether you're chanting or you're talking to him like that. You always use a title, Guru Maharaj or Gurudev. So, just like if I go to New Rajadhana, Hungary, they greet me. They sing Jagru Day, then they offer some puja like that. Hey, see your lifestyle. You respect in that way. You can't offer arti without a picture of your spiritual master there. Otherwise, not arti. You know that. I forgot for a moment. And pictures of your guru that you're offering to, the feet should be there because you approach the feet as this Vedic expression of respect. So when you first look at the deity, look at the feet and raise your vision. So you begin your meditation upon your guru at the feet. Remember when Srila Prabhupada came into my office at WBT, when he was taking his tour, and I was at his feet. And then you can raise your vision. That's all these proper behaviors are there to produce a proper consciousness. But you know, in Western so-called culture, everyone has this gut feeling that I know what to do, and yeah, I'm just being natural, I'm being genuine. But actually, people are more confused and bewildered about themselves than ever before. Isn't it amazing? They think they feel so natural in the grip of Maya, when actually they're so confused more than ever before. I know me. I know who I am. I'm in touch with my feelings. Yes, they're in touch with rajagun, tamagun, passion, and the modes of nature give them a false sense of self-awareness. You're not aware of yourself, you're aware of passion and ignorance. And you mistake that as yourself. Like sometimes, I remember my former years, I'd see or read interviews with music stars. And I used to always be amazed. Of course, we know that a big part of the motivation is money. But a lot of them would say, you know, I only sing songs that I feel. You heard me say like that? I only sing songs that I feel. I'm genuine. And they feel a kind of pride in that. If it's not a song that is me, then I'm not going to sing it. But what is the use in being so smug and proud about these artificial feelings that the modes of nature instill in you, invest in you? Maya's made an investment in us, passion and ignorance, and we identify with that investment as ourselves. That is the problem. So the rules and regulations, the proper ways of doing things and dealing with things are there, so that the real feelings will come out. In bhakti yoga, we don't go around just wondering, where's the love? Where's the love? Where did the love go? There's always a constant, a preoccupation in material life. Where's the love? Where'd all the love go? The world needs love. Where is it? We don't do like that. What we are doing is actively taking up the techniques for bringing about real love. So please don't forget what the purpose of all the rules and regulations is. So that we can love. But that requires some humility in the beginning to accept that. Due to contamination, one may not know what real love is. For those of you who really want to advance in Krishna consciousness, recommend to you that don't suit yourself. Don't perform activities just because they seem to make you feel good. Always think how others can receive the benefit of what you're trying to say, your time. And that way, actually, you'll come to know more about yourself than by any other way. To simply suit yourself means living a selfish life. But you always try to go the distance for others. Then you start to see the glories of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtana very clearly. It's like, why are we going through all this trouble so that some devotees can learn how to teach yoga? So we can reach out and get people to serve Krishna. So we can reach out and at least get some of them to even take up the rules and regulations. So then they get love. Now how are you going to inspire them to do that? You yourself have to come to grips with this love thing and rules and regulations and what the relationship is. Then you can radiate and beam the proper consciousness. Yes, we have rules and regulations because we're lovers. You have to be able to beam that, project that. Yeah, we're interested in love. That's why we have rules and regulations. Then people will be very curious. Rules and regulations and love, how does that go together? Other than passion and ignorance, people have no idea what real love is. And I remember one of our guests here was on Sunday program, was talking to you, and she was saying, well, isn't it just natural when you see something full of life, you just want to grab it? This is love, you know? Something that's got life and liveliness, so you just want to grab it for yourself. That's what people think is love. Love means service. So, certainly we want to show our commitment to love by the way we treat our own devotees. You notice how it's easy to snap at devotees? You ever notice that? Because you're with them all the time. So it's easy to start snapping at them. It's easy to get into a rut, into a pattern of, you know, snapping at devotees and you're always doing this, you're always doing that. The way to get over that is to try to serve all the devotees. Then gradually, as your real love builds in your heart due to serving everyone, your behavior changes. We want the kind of association that will attract others. First, you have to care for yourself, and then learn how to care for others. So, we care for all the devotees. If someone coughs or has the sniffles, someone just coughed. There's someone, who was that? Huh? That was you. So naturally, what do you think? Oh, she's sick? She's not feeling well? That's being considerate. Not that, that anyway, she's not the body, so there you go. If you see Karna limping a bit and, you know, looking a little exhausted, then you say something. Oh, yoga classes are a bit tough for you. And then, if someone would say that to you, what would you think? Yeah, of course. Well, sometimes devotees, you know,
Anyway, we're all transcendental, just vibrated.
If we're all transcendental, that means we're all caring for each other. The more advanced a devotee you become, the more a carer you become. And that's what attracts people and gets them to sign on to the rules and regulations. They see the care. They see the love. All the rules and regulations of the Vedic scriptures are meant simply to help you always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That means love, because you can only always remember and never forget someone you love. But to love requires humility. The humility enough to understand that we don't know anything about love until we become purified. It's hard for some people to accept. Some people actually freak out because of the rules and regulations. It's too much. It's oppressive. It's artificial. In other words, what they're saying is, I feel much better when passion is flowing spontaneously. That's what they're actually saying. Is that why people, they like to go clubbing and drink and dance because they think this is all natural? Is that so? Mm-hmm. Any other ex-clubbers? Side Simon? Yeah. You know, they actually think they're feeling natural? Or no?
Yeah. Yes.
Go for what?
Go for
dances. Go dance. And the alcohol and the drugs are all helping to bring out the natural self. Is that it? This is the contamination that persons coming to Krishna consciousness may have. So they really get a bit glum and they get a bit sad about the rules and regulations. Like, as if Krishna is interfering with real pleasure. How can Krishna interfere with real pleasure when Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure? We interfere with real pleasure. We think we know what pleasure is. And Krishna has interfered with our program. All right, we may have had a few hard times in the material world. It happens to the best of persons. Why does that mean that we have to accept Krishna's version completely? What's that verse you were quoting today, Simon? Translation.
One was able to control, and one was free from attachment, which was able to control the senses by the principle of freedom, maintaining the fullness of the Lord.
Yes, you can attain the full mercy of the Lord by following the regular principles of freedom. But why is it that one may feel restriction by these rules and regulations? Because we think the expansive life, the broad life, the dynamic life is all tied up with the motive of passion. That is a mistake. There's such a joy in Krishna consciousness to be able to care for others, even if it's not always appreciated. Such a joy. I'm very happy that so many of you are tasting that joy. We want that you get such a taste from caring for others, for administering the needs of others, that regardless of whatever phases you go through in your life,
they'll always remember that taste. It's like everyone knows, for example, the ladies, everyone knows practically almost every lady will marry. But if they can just look back on these years, these were the best years of my life. Then your time as a single person in Krishna consciousness is very successful. And hopefully everyone will get such a taste from distributing Krishna consciousness to others that even in whatever phase of life they go through, they'll keep that up to some degree. That would be very wonderful. But there'll be different types of persons with different types of responses. No doubt it's an amazing thing to feel Krishna's pleasure. To feel when Krishna says, no one is more dear to me than the one who spreads my words. To feel that. There's nothing like it. So my desire is that everyone, no matter what phase of life you're in, brahmachari, brahmacharya, gyastha, vanaprasanyasa, everyone gets this powerful taste of reaching out to others. And can, in some way, push on in that way all your life. Any questions? You understand that you're a patient in a hospital, then naturally you'll want instructions from the doctor how to get well. Suppose you went to a hospital and you were sick, and no doctor ever came to interview you and ask, what's wrong with you? And what are your symptoms? What are you going through? You think it's quite strange, right? Similarly, Krishna consciousness is quite strange without a proper guru-disciple relationship. At the same time, you should know that not everybody wants that. Even they may be initiated and have a Sanskrit name, they may not actually want guidance, because when you get guidance, it means you're responsible to try to act on it. We're trying to please Krishna. That is not an ordinary thing. So we need counsel. Why? Somebody have problems making their desserts? How much sugar to put in? Or you don't use sugar? You do? Really, those desserts you make for me with sugar? You never told me.
Natural sugar.
Oh, natural sugar. Sometimes you wonder how much natural sugar we're putting in. It's a complicated life of Sri Shiva. Yeah, I guess.
An environment for me is a lot of preaching going on. And the devotees are doing a lot of cultivation and helping people that are starting to Krishna consciousness. How do you keep that balance with actually giving associated with the values that are already in the ashram.
Living with devotees means a chance to talk about devotional service. It's easy to be considerate to those outside the devotional world if we're already practicing showing consideration to those inside the devotional world. You'll see one, the outside, as the expansion of the inside. Just like there's your individual japa, and then there's the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Practice. Practice being considerate. If someone coughs, practice. Oh, how are you feeling? It's practice, you know? If you think about these things, it starts to become a habit to do like that. Haven't you noticed? You can look at someone's face and tell they're feeling a little down, so that, you know? So then you say something. What's the difference? That's explained in the first canto by Narayana. Yaya sammohito jeev atmanam trividatmana, bewildered by the modes of nature, the living entity becomes tricolored, tricolored. Triyuga, there's three colors of the modes of material nature. And you identify yourself as a product of material nature. Material nature generates for you a false conception of yourself and presents it to you on a silver platter. Here you are. Yeah, that's me. And this way material life goes on. So we should make it a point every day to show our consideration for other devotees. It'll become a habit soon. But if you think, well, it's not my job, it's not my service to care, then we'll never have any leaders who will want to continue with that service in Krishna consciousness. If all the other devotees say, well, I'm not the leader, it's the job of the leader to figure out all this stuff and to care and be concerned, then you start to see a shortage in leaders. Because in order for there to be a good leader, there has to be a good follower. How can you be a good leader without a good follower? Leadership in Krishna consciousness is a chance for purification. It's nothing you ordinarily do for yourself. It's like sankirtan. You wouldn't do this service for yourself as you're going out and serving books. You sometimes when you're distributing, you see those people with the big issue magazine. You wouldn't do that kind of thing for yourself. For Krishna's service, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
because devotional service presents an opportunity for the real self to act. And it's such a rewarding feeling to see someone who was formerly trapped in the modes of nature to come forth in Krishna consciousness. It's like when I was looking at Sarah, I didn't recognize her. It's like a completely different person from when I first met her in Wellington, New Zealand. Bright face, clear face. Devotees have desires. So when you meet someone like that, you desire, oh, this person should be Krishna conscious. This person shouldn't suffer anymore. You felt the devotees feeling like that, Sarah?
Yeah.
She wouldn't say anything at first. She would just look. Like kind of in disbelief, right? Right? Is this really for real? I mean... So for a while, for a few months, she really wouldn't talk that much. She'd just kind of look at you. You have to understand how people are being slaughtered. And therefore, they have a hard time really believing that someone actually cares. So we have the rules and regulations in Krishna consciousness so that we're able to properly care and properly love. But the mode of passion will try to convince you, don't worry about those rules. Go on, be a lover, you know what to do. And we get into a lot of trouble. Humility, someone asked about humility. Humility means to accept. I really don't know what real love is. Let me take to Lord Chaitanya's process and let Lord Chaitanya teach me what real love is. My version of love is something conjured up, cobbled together by the three modes of material nature. These days, two modes, passionately mixed. So we want to create a model for a thriving urban community of devotees, which is based on consideration of each other, inspiration of each other, widening, bringing more and more people for personal cultivation and care, inspiring devotees to read Prabhupada's books again and again and again, I'd like all the devotees to get that feeling that they can read Prabhupada's books over and over and over and never get to the bottom of it. Then that's a good sign of spiritual health. You get that feeling. Ultimately, when we chant Hare Krishna, we want to aspire for when will the tears flow from our eyes like rain? And a split second separation from Krishna seems like millions of years, a yuga. That's the perfectional stage of chanting Hare Krishna. And a devotee should aspire for that perfectional stage. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, when will that day be mine? When I chant the names Gaurinityananda and ecstatic symptoms break out in me. When will that day be mine? So you can aspire. When will I really hear the holy name and react accordingly? When will that day be mine? All right. So. One evening, Kamala has me scheduled for university programs, right? So, what night is that? Thursday night. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. All right, who's Gina Dowell? You haven't asked one yet, so let's hear.
Through my Supreme Head, I decide to increase in our service. And in the case of Sandy Tom, you talked about the taste that there. And although we can continue in some, to some degree if we tend to touch them, there might not be facilities to increase. So,
well, there has to be a proper blend. There's two kinds of swadharmas. Krishna explains it in Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes he's talking to Arjuna based on Arjuna being pure spirit soul. Krishna says, just surrender to me, I'm the Supreme Personality of God, just do what I say. Then sometimes Krishna talks to him in terms of his social duty. You're a kshatriya. This is the right thing to do. So we have, until we're very advanced in Krishna consciousness, we have both a conditioned side to us and the spiritual side to us. So that has to be a proper packaging. That's why guidance is required. Yes, it's true. What you're saying, it's a challenge. It's also true that someone who makes their life and soul distributing Krishna consciousness to others, Krishna gives them special circumstances. You can stay free from the pushings of this world if your urge to care for others in Krishna consciousness exceeds your urge for your own self gratification. Something has to be excessive in us. Either it's going to be the excessive passion or it's going to be the excessive Krishna conscious desire to care for. One thing, though, is a fact. For example, if you want to have a long sankirtan career, you have to keep your body in shape. Otherwise, it will catch up with you, neglecting your body. There's no free lunches in the material world. So if you want to be active in reaching out to people and cultivating, then you have to keep the body machine in shape. Whether or not in the future one finds it advantageous to link up with another embodied soul, that has to be seen. We don't force anybody to do anything in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is voluntary. We don't force people to remain single, and we don't force people to marry. But so yes, what you're saying is a consideration. Krishna very deeply and sincerely. Yes.
I have two questions. Firstly, you were saying in the beginning about that one should address the scripture verse by his name, one should use the title. Mm-hmm.
just in relation to the addiction room, or is that anything in relation?
Just in relation to your views. Just like we didn't call Prabhupada, you know, Bhaktivedanta Swami. You actually have Bhaktivedanta as a title too. But we didn't say his name is Sannyas, name is Swami Maharaj. It's actually his Sannyas name. So Deva Rita Swami Prabhupada, Sannyasa is Swami Maharaj. So some title should be there.
Sannyasa comes to
Maharaj.
Yeah, you could, but would you chant Jaya Gurudev like in a Guru Kirtan like
that? So I gave the example. Mm-hmm. When I go to Hungary, I don't have disciples in Hungary. Practice. Practice. A devotee is eager to show care, eager to respect senior devotees. Eagerness. By practice, you become expert at these high emotions. That's a whole science in itself. How long did it take you to get your master's degree in internet research?
4 years.
Well, it'll take you at least that much to learn this kind of thing, how to give instruction to persons who don't want instruction. That's what it's all about. You have to be tactful. Sometimes a little pushy, and sometimes you fade back. Best is like the waves in the ocean, like the tide. Sometimes the tide comes in, sometimes the tide goes out. You just can't hit a person with wave after wave after wave. You know, the tide has to go out sometimes. Unless the person is a very dear devotee to you, and you have such an understanding that devotee wants to be very serious in Krishna consciousness, that's different. But most devotees cannot take wave after wave after wave, you know, the tide coming in all the time. So the tide has to go out sometimes. But just as the tide goes out, it also comes back in. That's a good way how to do it. Just like the tide in the ocean. Not constantly in someone's face. That's why it's good for sannyasis to travel, because And you get a ring.
How can we tell them when they're either becoming too flippant with the rules and regulations or a little bit scared to kind of connect with that one?
You discuss. You're a manager. Yes, you should be concerned with that. So, you discuss. You can ask me. It's an art of how to generate enthusiasm as the first priority and then to bring in the necessary protocols. If you recall Bodhi Lamrita, that's what he did. First he would create the enthusiasm and then he brought in the protocols. I remember one of the early devotees was telling me they had been coming to Prabhupada's classes and like that, and sometimes Srila Prabhupada would have to go up and down 2nd Avenue to the coffee shops to bring them out for Bhagavatam class. Or sometimes they, in the middle of Gita class, they get up and go out for take a smoke, take a break, you know, come back in. So, this has been going on for a while. Prabhupada's law preaching. And one day, a devotee asked Prabhupada, by the way, are there any rules we're supposed to be following? And Prabhupada said, I was just waiting for someone to ask. But first he generated the enthusiasm and then introduced the protocols. First is enthusiasm. Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha Nishchaya Dharya. First enthusiasm, patience, determination. Tat Tat Karma Pravartana. Acting in the prescribed way. Alright? Anybody have some specific examples of some specific instances where you can always ask for any? And you know, the Allah, in further answer to your question, you see, you have to keep your eye on two things, both of your Swadharmas. You understand? And see. You just pray to Krishna. I just want to distribute your glories. You please show me what's the best thing to do. I'll go out and spend your time and preach and I'll leave these things in your hands. Krishna's taking care of everyone. Why should he not take care of those who are spreading his clothes? Because in any case, whatever you do, you're going to have to depend on Krishna anyway. It's like in your married life, does that mean you don't have to depend on Krishna? Huh? Everything is a training opportunity for how to depend on Krishna. There's no exemptions. So since that's going to be the case no matter what we do, we might as well depend on Krishna now.
in acting Krishna consciousness.
Don't put yourself through any artificial ordeals. There's nothing wrong in your being happy in Krishna consciousness. You don't have to feel bad about it. What's something wrong with your life? That's just what you want. Maybe I should make my life more complicated. You know, yeah. It's just too blissful right now. You have to keep your eye on both swadharmas, your eternal dharma and your temporary dharma, and see how they can coincide or not. Chandidas with us now, and he's got an eye on both of his swadharmas. He wants to participate in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. At the same time, he feels his future will be a certain way sooner or later, so he wants to arrange for that too. So. It's a juggling act. Yeah, you don't want to juggle? Don't juggle. We don't force people to juggle. That's your business. Don't be fanatical this way or that way. Pray to Krishna, how can I best serve you? You pray to Krishna, how can I best serve you? Krishna will give you intelligence. All right. You have any questions? Do you understand all these points? Okay. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.